and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The dual language program was first introduced in schools in 2016 to offer students the choice of learning science and mathematics in English. Now, the program is run in selected schools, and according to the most recently available data, there are currently some 1,600 primary schools and 750 secondary schools nationwide that offer the dual language program. However, recently, there have been claims that the DLP is slowly being reduced and may even be in danger of being quietly abolished. Now, if this is true, what is at stake? Joining us on the show tonight is Datin Nur Azima Abdul Rahim. She's a chairperson of the Parent Action Group for Education Malaysia, better known as PAGE. PAGE was instrumental in the formulation of the dual language program after its predecessor, PPSMI, was halted in 2013. Datin Azima, thank you for joining me on the show tonight. You have been vocal in your concern over the changes made to the dual language program in schools. Now, can you elaborate on some of your concerns for us?
Thank you, Melissa, for having me. What happened was that since 2016, there were schools which were allowed to have all DLP classes. So there were just this handful of schools which were allowed to be 100% DLP. And this had been going on. They had met all the criteria. But suddenly, this year, we noticed that two schools in Kuala Lumpur have been asked to turn one of their DLP classes into a non-DLP class, even though not a single parent wants it. And when they approach the principal and school leaders, they are told, you just have to accept it. We've been instructed to turn your DLP class into a non-DLP class, and there's no two ways about it. So of course, these parents were not happy because this is standard one, and these schools have always been full DLP schools. And when they enroll their children, they wanted specifically DLP classes. But suddenly, midway through the term, even after getting their textbooks, science and math textbooks in English, they were told, oops, sorry, this is now a non-DLP class. Surrender your English books and here are your BM books.
Okay, do you understand?
Any reason as what was given as to why students are made to be in non-DLP classes, even though their parents expressly said they wanted DLP classes?
The principal just said, we have been instructed. There's no written circular, there's no written, nothing is written. It's all, I feel, totally unprofessional on the part of the authorities.
Okay, so we will be speaking to a parent about their experiences with this, but I'm quite curious to understand, given some of the challenges that the DLP has faced previously, is this an issue of not having enough manpower? Because the education minister had recently said the ministry does not have enough teachers to teach maths and science in English. Is this a repercussion of that?
No, all the teachers are fine teaching in English of both subjects because they've been doing this in 2016. In fact, the teachers who are affected prefer to teach in English, and they are teaching English to the other levels as well. So teachers are actually finding difficult to teach in Bahasa Melayu these two subjects, which is very odd.
Okay, so help me understand, if this is in fact a directive from the top, how are you interpreting this?
Well, maybe there is a Malay agenda, I don't know, because we cannot pinpoint it to anyone because there is nothing written, it's all verbal. And the parents have even written to all the authorities, the state education, the Ministry of Education, even the minister, and there is still no response. And the verbal, responses are, we cannot do anything about it. So the parents are in a bind. which is why they approach Page, you know, and I think it's this is justifiable why we need to go to the media.
Okay, I want to better understand, because according to some of the news reports, it says that perhaps one of the reasons for this increase or for the sudden appearance of a non-DLP class in a DLP school is because to accommodate some of the students who are struggle to learn science and maths in English, to accommodate the students, the children living in an area of a school, a DLP school, who cannot enroll in the school because they might struggle with English in science and mathematics. Is this just another avenue to provide an option for students who want to maybe study in BM instead?
Well, there are 7,000 primary schools, and as you said, only 1,300 offer DLP classes. There's still a lot more classes that you can go to without upsetting parents who want DLP. And in fact, if it's really to accommodate the B40 in the urban poor in Kuala Lumpur, I think DLP is actually better for them to improve their English than for you know, Malay speaking students to go into a non-DLP class. It just doesn't serve the purpose.
Right. And Paige, has Paige had any contact with the ministry or anyone, policymakers? Have you had a response in raising your concerns?
Nothing at all. In fact, we are all now that we have gone through the proper channels, going through the various education authorities, we are now sending our memorandums to ministers and members of parliament. That's in the process.
Okay.
And we hope somebody can bring it up in parliament, if not the education minister. I don't think the education minister is going to budge, unfortunately.
Well, we'll wait to see if there is an official response coming out of Putrajaya. Thank you so much for speaking with me. That was Datin Nur Azima Abdul Rahim from the Parent Action Group for Education. A quick break here on Consider This, but we will come back with more on this topic. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our conversation about the recent changes in the dual language program schools. We have joining us now Puan Elisa Ismail. She has a child currently studying in a dual language program school. Puan Elisa, thank you for joining me on the show today. I'm just wondering, can you share your experience and observations as to the changes that have happened in the implementation of the dual language program in your child's school?
Okay, thank you for having me. Personally, I think as a parent, we were a bit blindsided by the new ruling. It was unexpected because when we enrolled our daughter, it was supposed to be a full DLP program school. And when we were told that there would be a non-DLP class and a DLP class, we were a little bit surprised, because my daughter was in a full English medium kindergarten. So when we were looking for schools, we were looking for a school that offered the full dual language program. And when this ruling, I wouldn't even say a ruling, took effect, it was quite sudden, and it was quite shocking at that time for us, not just for my daughter, but for us as the parents as well.
Right. Okay. So if I understand correctly, your child is in a DLP school, but in a non-DLP class. So as we heard from Paige Malaysia a little bit earlier, there seems to have been this introduction of non-DLP classes in DLP schools. So teaching science and maths not in English as per the mandate of the school. Can I ask you, did your child have a choice between wanting to attend a DLP class or a non-DLP class?
Well, unfortunately, we didn't have a choice. Whether it was the parent or the child, we were not given any choice. It was more of a take it or leave it situation. And it was done in such a manner that was so abrupt and so so quickly and so sudden, and we were not aware of it. We were not informed of it. We were only told during the second week of transition class, and we didn't know what to expect. we were just told that there will be one non-DLP class and one DLP class. As to how the assessment was conducted, we were also not briefed on how it was conducted. And in fact, up till today, we didn't even have a letter. There's no black and white letter. It was told to us by WhatsApp. And we were just told that, okay, your daughter is now in a non-DLP class, and there are only two classes for standard one. So there is only one DLP and one non-DLP class. And my daughter being English speaking daughter, she has always been conversing in English. And this is a little bit troubling for us because it was a matter of whether she would be able to keep up with her, you know, lessons, and whether she will understand, because we wanted to enroll her in a DLP class because at least she would be able to catch up, you know, from English to BM and vice versa. But at this point, we were not given any choice. No, we weren't. It's just upsetting, actually.
And no explanation from the school, even after you sought for clarification?
The explanation given was that it was instructed by the ministry, and it was instructed by the higher people above, and they are just following orders, in a sense that the school had no choice, and it's something that was mandated or told, you know, it was something that they had to do, and they didn't have a choice. And subsequently, as parents, we didn't have a choice either. So as I said, we've already enrolled. It was during second or third week of transition of class, and we didn't have a choice. So it's either we continue on or we take her out of the school.
Well, what are the other parents saying, the parents of children who are in a non-dual language program class? How are they reacting to this? I'm just wondering whether there is a real concern as to how this might impact the choices of the parent as to the medium of instruction for their children.
I think we have a majority of the parents. We have 31 students in our class, and I can safely say that nearly all of us, 31 parents, raised their concerns. And we even have a petition from all these 31 parents stating that this is something that they are not agreeable with, and it's not something they're comfortable with, because they were under the impression that during enrollment, it would be a dual language program class and dual language program school. So this sudden change is just not acceptable, and it's not something that we expected. Neither were the children, because like I said, our children, I think, came from a background where they went to English medium kindergarten. So coming into a dual language program school, that would help them transition from BM to English, and, you know, English to BM. And being taught science and maths in BM now is quite a challenge for the children, and also the parents, because we have to find a new way of teaching them, because they're quite disoriented and quite lost in class, honestly speaking. And this is speaking on, you know, talking to the other parents as well. So we are collectively, you know, as parents, we're just lost as well. We don't have a direction.
Has there been any feedback or any parent who is pleased or is happy for the choice of having science and maths taught in a different language other than English in a DLP school? Having that choice, I think, is important for parents. Are there parents who are happy to have been provided with that choice?
I think I I can't speak on behalf of all the other parents, but when we did conduct the petition, we managed to get every single signature from the parents. So I think that speaks volumes. And it's also in the manner that it was done. It was so abrupt. The assessments given to our children was something that was not clarified, nor was it explained to us. It was a decision that was made by the school, by the teachers, without the consultation of the parents. And at the end of the day, when the name list came out for the DLP class and the non-DLP class, it was a situation of take it or leave it. And no matter how many times we went to see the headmistress or the teachers, we were just given the same response and the same feedback. We're just following instruction.
Right. Just my last question, Vanessa, is there a possibility that parents might consider taking their children out of DLP schools with because of non-DLP instruction and moving them to other schools or taking them out of national schools completely?
That's a very good question, because I had to personally ask, it's more of me asking that question as well, whether I would want to continue on, you know, in this school, and whether it's what's best for my daughter, because I personally love the school. But when this happened, it was just it's a challenge. And I know some of the parents were saying that we'll give it 6 months, or we'll see until the end of the school year. We'll see how they are. We'll see how the kids are. If they cannot cope, or if it's a challenge, then maybe there will be some who will, you know, move schools and change schools. But there have been conversations amongst the parents saying that, you know, this is not something we signed up for. This is not what we expected, and we're not happy with this decision. So we might. And personally, I was looking for IGCSEs for my daughter in secondary. So I wanted her to actually have the foundation in primary for English and science to be taught, science and maths to be taught in English. But with this new ruling, it's something that we might consider. We'll see how she is at the end of the year. And it's a possibility that we may change schools. We don't want to, but we have to think what's best for our child at this point.
Right. Puan Lisa, thank you so much for speaking with me. That was Puan Lisa, parents of a child currently studying in a non-DLP class, but within a dual language program school. Thank you so much for your time. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned. Hello, I'm Melissa Idris. Thank you so much for staying with Consider This. We're continuing our conversation about the dual language program schools. We're speaking now to Dr. Adelina Asmawi, Associate Professor in the Department of Language and Literacy Education at University of Malaya. Dr. Adelina, thank you for joining me on the show. As we're talking about the DLP, the dual language program, can you tell us how it's been implemented in Malaysian schools and how you have observed the persistent challenges and obstacles in its implementation over the years?
Thank you, Melissa. Thanks for having me here today. I would begin with speaking about DLP as an exploration of knowledge. So I'll come back to that later on. And we have alternatives when we talk about DLP, alternatives which people do not seem to understand sometimes or miss out, the alternatives of teaching math and science in Malay, Mandarin, or Tamil, or teaching those subjects in English, or teaching those subjects in dual languages. And what we're focusing on is, I think, English and Malay. So that's what people are usually now at the moment are talking about. Talk about the implementation, it depends on geographical makeup of a certain state or a certain country. Like us, we have different locations, different socioeconomic status, different sociocultural makeups. And the challenges depend on these makeup. They're different from one place to the next. That's what we need to understand firstly.
Okay, so you mentioned that we're focused a lot on the you know, the differences between teaching in English and teaching in BM. What differences do we need to highlight about the other vernacular, about the other languages?
Basically, we're looking at alternatives or options, providing a platform which is most comfortable or beneficial for the type of students that they are. So we have different students from different background. And if we do not address that we have differences and we opt for one way, or if you say like monolingualism, we are in trouble because we're not made of one type of community. So address by having options. And I think moving from PPMS, SMI, the teaching of English, science and mathematics in English, purely for everybody, to the refinement of having DLP, was a very good move. And I think a lot of we can see a lot of demand for this currently, and this shows that people understand that there are merits to this. I think people understand that there are merits to having alternatives, and this is a great move for Malaysia as a nation.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, the idea of dual language, the dual language program, is to help the student study or learn in the language that they are most comfortable with, study science and maths in the language that they are most adapt to. Is that how you would explain it?
So there are two things, there are two anchors, like two sides of the anchors, yeah? We have one where we see that this is most comfortable for them. There's another side where we see that the potential that they can be, what they can learn. So there are two sides of this. So that's why the voices of the students and the parents are very important. How do you see the potentials of these students? Where can they move from here? So we do see some Felder students motivated enough to want to take up English, to learn science and math in English, and have succeeded getting scholarships abroad. So we cannot limit their options. That's what I'm trying to say, that the options and the availability of basically equitable access is very important for us at this stage. So we cannot go backwards. Please, please, and I plead for all of us to actually look at all the contexts that are available in the country and hear voices from all sorts of stakeholders and not just one or the other, you know?
Okay, help us understand why it is important to have a dual language program option for parents and students. I want to bring up the issue of PPSMI. I'm not sure whether that's a good comparison to make, but PPSMI was halted all those years ago because it failed to reach its desired outcomes.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
So okay. Some students cannot do it. We understand that. So stick to what they can do. So do not blanket that everybody cannot do it. So we see premier boarding schools doing well in this. So we see the creme de la creme of the country, schools which are producing future leaders who have succeeded in producing graduate school leavers who are science stream students who can transition very well into the tertiary level education. So we want students like these as well. And we also want those who want to be, even though they're not in the premier schools, those who want to be such as, you know, like follow those pathways. So we want to allow that. So the key is to provide an option, pathways. What would you like to do? What would like to try to do? And certain schools which have suddenly pulled the rug under these students, it was a sad case because they did this when the students were in already Form 2, Form 1, Form 2, doing science and math and English, and the rugs were pulled. So, mm-hmm. So such issues were not addressed and they did not have these voices heard. And that was a shame. That was such a shame to me when you pull such things under such students who would like to, not given the option. So we do have, I shall not name names, but we do have some schools who have done this already, starting this year. So... Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dr. Alina, what would you like to see improve or change in terms of the dual language program and how it's currently being implemented, given all the recent claims that the program is trying to be reduced or to be diminished in some sense?
There's one interesting point, Melissa, that people have, I see, that people have not touched. They say that teachers are not able to teach because they don't have the language proficiency. That was one of the things that they were mentioning. They're not good in English. But what I've seen through experience in studying certain teachers who are successful, specifically in boarding a primary school, boarding premier schools, right? Premier boarding schools. So what they've done is they code switch. They did not teach in English only because we're all bilinguals. So the process was done by code switching, but the product was English, meaning math and science in English. So the processes we need to look at. So they are comfortable enough to teach in Malay and English. Yeah. I think that can be done with the vernacular languages as well. So I think there need to be a study on such successful teachers. They have produced these science stream students, as successful science stream students, but they code switched. They did not use just English. So that's a food for thought.
All right. So look at how the successful teachers are teaching in the classrooms and maybe learn from their success stories. Dr. Adlina, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. That was UM's Associate Professor, Dr. Adlina Asmawi, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.